This sermon is brought to you by Shofar East London. Together, living out the fullness of Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's great to be with you guys again. It's really a privilege for me to come to you here in East London every time. You really have a special place in my heart. And like I said in the first service, you know, many of my firsts were here as a family. So Andre and Sonika are doing really well with you guys here. It's a blessing to walk in here and to experience just the cross-generational love that you can feel in this place and how you guys welcome everybody. So please continue. It's great to experience that. But more than that, for me personally, as you know, when I married Danelle, and you know, we've got a lot of words and things that the Lord has spoken to us that we do. But many of them, you know, Andre and Sonika has invited us for so many things that our first like men's camp that I did, or Danelle went came to you guys with the Awakened Women's Ministry one time. You know, it was first for us. And then Danelle and I were invited last year or in the previous year somewhere for the marriage ministry that we did here with you guys. And it was the first time that Danelle and myself could do this together, and it was in East London. And then, you know, this time around is the first time that that I can do ministry with my boy, my oldest, Maynard, together on a mission to East London. So thank you so much again, Andre. Thank you for what you do for us personally. We love you and Sonika, and we really love this church. You guys are amazing. Let's pray, and then we're going to continue with the word this morning. Father, thank you for Shofar East London, God, thank you for what they have and what they bring, God. Lord, I pray for them to flourish, God, as Andre has also spoken about Stellenbosch, Lord. Let us be a flourishing people, oh God, that can draw others in, that's authentic, Lord God, that can love well. Father, I pray, Lord God, that it will be in this place as well. Father, I pray, Lord, that everything that they do, you will just anoint, God, and let your people, oh God, have the whole counsel of God at their disposal, oh God, as they impact this city and this place, oh God, of reach that they have here in the Eastern Cape, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning I'm going to share a word with you. Just want to get my water. I am a water man. I like coffee. But when I preach my mouth dry because I'm very soft-spoken, like you know. Just need my water. So coming here, I just felt the Lord lay on my heart a specific word for you. You know, as a traveling preacher, it's always great because you can have your five favorite sermons of all time in your back pocket, and you can just pull it out like, ta-da, this is great, I'll do it with you. But this time around, I just felt the Lord with Danelle say that I need to bring something that you guys need to hear specifically, and that's just what this morning's message is about. So, again, JP makes me look very good with the slides, so it's awesome for me to have slides like this. None of it is my work, but it looks great. So my sermon's title is, you know, Receiving the Crown of Life, and it's one of those things that when you see it, it's like, yes. We shall have the crown of life. I can just have it now and then put it on my head. And I am a son of God. I am, and then we can go on with that. But there's a but. So this morning I'm going to speak to you about receiving the crown of life, but it's going to be in a different way than you might expect. Okay? Now, I grew up in the R. And it's in the middle of our country, for those of you who don't know, in the Karoo. And my mom used to teach me stuff. You know, my dad also taught me stuff. But this one thing I remember from my mom's side is when I would start, like, the coloring in of a picture. And it's fun when you start something. Okay? Yay! Let's color it in. And then halfway through, as a kid, you'd get to a place where there is definitely something more interesting to do than coloring in. Okay? And then, I stopped because I wanted to go play, and my mother would tell me this: you finish what you started. The older people are like, yes, preach it to the younger generation. The yes, I know. Because it's really something, you know, it's something that is in our culture now that's never been there before. Because it's something that has creeped in through everything becoming easier. It's easier to get food. It's easier to get groceries. Everything is about comfort and having things quickly. There's no pushing through too much. And I'm a parent, you know, I understand how it works. You want to bless your kids. And some of us, we haven't had that blessing when we were older. Now we don't want to, you know, hold stuff back for them. So we give it to them easy. Kind of detrimental in the long run. Now that I have come and have some brains, you know, as my hair fall out, my brains increase. And I see there's so much wisdom in teaching our kids and ourselves to push through. To push through the hard stuff of life. And that is, you know, just the crux of where I want to start with my sermon this morning. Because Jesus speaks and he says the following. My focus will be on the process of receiving the crown of life. Not necessarily just the receiving of the crown of life. So let's read scripture together. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Woo! Now that is a great scripture to preach, Deval. Because having things easy, Jesus, give me the crown of life. Here I am. I am your faithful servant. Give it to me. Thank you. But when Jesus speaks to his disciples through John, which is having this revelation of who Christ is, and he speaks to him to speak to us as the church. This is what Jesus says. This crown of life, he wants to give it to us. And he will give it to us. But what is the prelude to getting that crown of life? Well, you are about to suffer. And then you're like, Jesus? Crown of glory, no suffering, please. But Jesus speaks and says, behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. But then Jesus says, be faithful unto death. So it's like, push through. Finish coloring in. Don't just start. Finish coloring in. Now I know that you think, oh, I saw this coming, not in this way, Deval, but I can see it now. Let's turn to some other scriptures where we find the same message that we see that Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, but now it's just different people that are saying this. The first one we find in James. James 1 verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And then we find Paul, he says it in a little bit of a different way, but it's the same thing. Paul says, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith. May that be something that all of us can say at the end of our lives. When you lie there in your deathbed, you're about to go into glory with Jesus. May you be able to say it like Paul has said it. Listen, there was a race before me. I ran that race to the finish. There was a fight and a battle for me, but I fought the good fight. And now, there's a crown of glory that awaits me, or a crown of righteousness, like he says in verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will, of the righteous judge will award to me on that day. not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing. Now we see from three different authors this same concept. Receiving the crown of life, but there's something that goes with it. There's a pushing through that goes with it. There's an overcoming that needs to happen on this side of just receiving the crown of life that all of us as disciples of Jesus need to know and need to go through. Because if we have this mindset that many of, you know, like the older folk that just say, yeah, I preach it all. You know, there's a mindset that has come into the younger generations that gets things easy. That's also crept into us as the disciples of Jesus now. Yesterday already, Jesus. My breakthrough, please. Can't you see, Jesus? It's going tough here at the moment. And you're almost God, most, ne? Please help me. Please bring my breakthrough. But then there's something that needs to happen, which is a process in all of our lives. And I'm, you know, my boy's not here, but I asked him to share his testimony, just one part of it, with the youth on Friday night. But when I look at him, I'm so humbled, you know, because sometimes when you look at your kids, if you've got more than you know, your kids are all different. And some of them, things come easier for some of them than for others. And with my oldest, things didn't come to him easily. You know, from he was yay big. See, I did that pause thing there, ne? It's like so good. And it's not that, it's like so. He's growing still. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. But since he was like a young kid like that, he had a lot of things to work through. And the overcoming that I've seen in him humbles me. So, just quickly, there was a time in school where we see, you know, we know that he's not stupid. He's really smart. But as he went on through the years in school, you know, he was struggling to get his work done. And it started to influence his identity because that which is in his head, he couldn't get out onto paper. So we had him go for tests and stuff, you know, and then we find out, you know, but he's got a little bit of a disconnect from the brain to the hand. And he can't write. And I saw that when my brother got married. They had this big, thing where they wanted everybody to write down. And I said to him, because now his two younger brothers have already written. I said, go and write something there for Umvoku. And I remember the moment where it's like, he doesn't want to. Because when he writes, it looks like he's the youngest from his brothers. And now we have a struggle, you know. So the struggle for us is real too. What are we going to do? Will we remove him from mainstream schools? Will we homeschool him? Will we take him to a place where we don't know? Okay, so sometimes pastors don't know. Even those that follow Jesus. And I remember how Danielle and I prayed through this and we didn't know. But we serve a God that knows. And Maynard was with us as we went through this process. And then he wakes up one morning and he says, Mama, Papa, I had a dream. We're like, yeah. And he has this dream where he's walking into the primary school, you know, where he was at. And then the deputy head of that school comes to him and kind of ushers him through the school. He says, and dad, it was funny because he wasn't like talking down to me. He was talking to me like this, like a peer. And as we went through the school, then at the back of the school, there was all of these fields, harvest fields. And he's ushering me into those harvest fields. Now I'm like, ding, 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 ding. And my wife's wisdom comes through. She says, my boy, what do you think Jesus is saying to you? And he's like, I think I must stay in mainstream schools because that's where Jesus wants me. And then I'm like, okay. But the process and the effort and the overcoming needed for that boy of mine to have done that, it blows my mind. Because the struggle continued. But he knew that he had purpose. He knew there's a reason for this. And Jesus didn't take away my disability. But I need to be there because he gave me a dream that this is where I need to be. And then he started to do, you know, the whole electronic thing and what. To finish the story quickly. After he has done his first year, when he left that primary school, there were 30 other kids that he was the way maker for, that had issues, that now has an ability to stay. Because there was one boy that said, Jesus, I'll submit to your process. So now, with that, receiving the crown of glory and then receiving the crown of life, receiving the crown of righteousness, all of those wonderful things that we see from Scripture that all of us want. You know, we want to receive that. The prelude to that is many times trials and suffering and stuff that you need to go through. Now, this morning, I'm going to just share around one person that we find in the Bible that I love a lot. To read his story, and I'm so grateful for Peter. You know, the way in which Peter's humanity and just how he operated is so blatantly given to us by the writers of the New Testament, but I mean, that was his own story that he also allowed to be written down, being real, being open. And we find the story in Luke 22, but before we get there, let me just color this picture. Okay, I'm going to finish coloring my picture. Just about who this Peter is. So now, you know the story, those of you who read your Bibles. Peter is the one that gets most of the big revelations first throughout Scripture or the New Testament while they were with Jesus. So Jesus asks, who do the people say that I am? And then he asks his disciples, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter gets up and he's like, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, Peter, what the legend. You are a legend. This was not given to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And then Peter does what all of us will do when we have something like that. He's like, what a man. All the other disciples are there like, see, I got it, you didn't. Anyway, now I only read that into Scripture. It didn't happen there. But we do this as people. We want to, you know, kind of have a comparison with the other people because that's how we make ourselves feel good as Christians. You know, I'm okay because I'm in church and I know that person is also in church and that person's way worse than me. Don't laugh so hard. But it's the truth. We know it sometimes. But the fact of the matter is we need to compare ourselves with Scripture, with Christ. Never with one another. And it's something we need to remind ourselves with just constantly. Because we do it. Okay? All of us are like all, you know, religious and stuff. Don't judge. We are creatures of judgment. We do that. When somebody comes in here, it's like, okay, I wonder where she got that top from. Oh, she's shopping at the same place I'm shopping at. I must change my shopping habits. Anyway, we do it. So judge rightly, that is what we must do. But don't say to me we don't judge, we do. Because that is the way that we look at life. Peter comes, he's like, okay, I'm the man. And then God comes, and he humbles him two verses further. He's just had this revelation. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus comes. He says to them, as the disciples, listen, I'm going away. I'm going to die. And then Peter gets up. Nah. Not on my watch, Lord. Because I've got this revelation of who you are. And I'm telling you, over my dead body, this will not happen. And then Jesus, who just told him, blessed are you, humbles him quite severely, says to him, get behind me, Satan. It's not a good thing to hear from Jesus. But it's from that context that I want you to understand that Simon that we're going to read about now, he's like all of us. Sometimes we get the revelations, sometimes we get humbled. So receiving the crown of life, I want to use Simon's story because it's critical for us to understand, especially some of us here, you are going through stuff right now. And there are things in your life that you're praying to God for. God, please help me. Please remove this from me. Luke 22:31 says, Simon, Simon, now Jesus speaking again to him. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And then Peter goes and he says, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus says to him, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me 3 times. Okay. I'm not going to spend time on the last part of that. I want to spend time on the first part of the scripture because it's actually a very sobering, chilling statement that Jesus makes. He makes a statement. He says, Peter, Satan has asked for you. I'm like, you know, Satan asked for you so that he what? He may sift you like wheat. Now, where does this come from? You know, when you know your Bible, obviously there's another place in the Old Testament where we find a similar story. Any guesses? Job. In the book of Job, we find almost exactly this story. Job 1, we read the following. We see, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro over the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Now you get this picture where there's a place where with the sons of God and Satan himself is entering into the throne room of heaven. Before God, and he's speaking to God about God's disciples, people that follow him. And God's in this conversation. Have you seen Job? Yes, he has seen him. But does he fear God for no reason? So what does it mean? It means like he's got everything going for him, God. All disciples that love you, if they have a life like Job's life, they will follow you and they will be blessed and awesome. Again, I read into that. But I'm just coloring in. God says, okay, fine. You can have him. But there's a but. God draws a boundary line where he says, you can touch anything, but his life you spare. So there's a place where when Satan comes into God's presence for Job, he's asking to sift him. And, you know, something that breaks our Western culture mind sometimes, say, God allows it. God says, okay, fine. He's yours. She's yours. Speaking into your life. But this is the boundaries of what you may not do. And then we read further in that scripture regarding Job. He loses everything. He loses his kids. He loses his wealth. He loses his health. Everything he loses. And even his wife comes to him and says to him, "Oh, Job, just curse God so that you may die. Just make an end to it. This suffering has gone on too long. You know? Just curse God so that you may die and end it." And some of you, in your circumstances today, might be hearing those same voices coming against you, saying to you, just end it. No, not today. The boundaries are drawn around us. Now, let's go back to our scripture in Luke. When you think about that scripture, does Satan care about possessions? Does Satan care about the stuff that we have? The things that we can see around us? He doesn't really care about that. What is the thing that Satan really cares about when it comes to you and me? Faith. Because Jesus says it right there in that scripture when he says to Simon, listen, Satan came for you. He came into the throne room of God and he says, God, same with Job, can I have Peter? Because I want to sift him like wheat. Not for the stuff. There's one thing that Satan guns for, and that is our faith. But Jesus comes, and I love a but in the Bible. There is a little but it's a big but to me. In this whole thing, when Satan comes and he asks for Peter, Jesus says to him, but I prayed for you. Why? So that your faith may not fail. Jesus didn't pray for him that the circumstances disappear. Jesus didn't pray for him that he might have more and bless the people outside with everything that he's got, you know. No. In the moment when Satan came for him, Jesus interceded for him. Jesus went and he said, Father, I pray for Peter. And I intercede for him and I ask for God that his faith may not fail. So when I come to situations like this, I want to encourage you guys to remember that you have got a high priest that sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for us constantly. Whenever Satan comes in to accuse us, to bring us before, you know, that place where he says, God, I want this one. We have a high priest that understands suffering. He understands suffering in such a way that he laid down his life for us and suffered until death on a cross for obedience to God. So that he, as our Messiah, sits at the right hand of the Father in his bodily form. Understanding, being a high priest that can understand, that has empathy with us, speaks to his Father and says, I pray for them. I intercede for them. So when Satan comes into your life, and he's not standing there necessarily physically, but the stuff that are happening, you know, around you, the circumstances in your life, and you've been praying to God for, and I want you to remember that maybe Satan has asked for you. Maybe Satan wanted to sift you like wheat. But the only thing that he really wants from you is your faith. The only way that you can lose this battle, ladies and gentlemen, is when you don't do the coloring in thing till the end. That which you have started, following Christ, going after him. If you continue in that way and you don't lose faith, you will receive the crown of glory that he has for you. Now you might say to me, Duval, That's great. But he prayed for Peter. He didn't pray for me. I beg to differ. Because we find this scripture here in John 17, verse 19. And it says there, and for their sake, I consecrate myself, Father. So Jesus speaking to his Father, his last prayer just before he goes and dies on the cross for us. He says, and for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, those that were with him there while he was still alive. And then listen to this. But I also ask for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus prayed for you and for me. He interceded for you and for me already before he went to the cross. He said, Father, I'm not just praying for these, but I'm also praying for those that'll come because of the word that these that are with me will speak. And that is us. So maybe this morning you are in a space where you know that, thanks, Andre. That was a good balance. Almost spilled over onto everything here. That would not have been good. So some of you, this morning, as you are sitting here listening to me, you may be on a place in your life where there's things that you see, it's going on, it's like it feels unfair. God, help me. God, can't you see what's going on in my life? God, can you not just intervene here? Then I want to encourage you. God says for us, you know, in the Bible, those who overcome, I will give the crown of glory. We are constant overcomers in this world. You will stop overcoming the day that you lay down your head and you die, or Jesus comes back. Then we will not be overcomers anymore. But we don't overcome by ourselves. We overcome because Jesus has already overcome. Jesus is the one that says to us, listen, behold, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have tough times, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I, Jesus, have overcome the world. So maybe just to bring a little bit of, you know, theological sound thinking into our suffering this morning for some of us that are here. Sometimes God doesn't just change our circumstances because we ask him to. And a good question to ask yourself is why? Because if we'd like to go into this place of, oh, shame out of my heck. Poor old me. No. You know what happens when we suffer in this world? We become a window into heaven for the people that are looking at us. And it's easy to be an amazing Christian like Job was when everything is going swell for you. It's like, oh, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. All of those things. Yay! But it's easy to be a Christian when things are going well. But when things aren't going well, that is a horse of a different color, directly translated from Afrikaans to English. Because when you and I understand that Jesus and the writers of the New Testament, they all write about this crown of glory. But all of them have got this one thing that happens. It's a process of overcoming your adversary, which is Satan, but your adversity that you are going through right now, day by day by day. You stand up in the morning and the scripture says that enough for today is the grace that you need for this day. Every day that you get up, even if you feel like, I can't do this one more day, Duval. I've been doing this for a year and a half. Every morning you get up, God says, my mercies are renewed every morning. And your mercy, God, is enough for me to get through this day. And that's all you need to do. An overcomer does it day by day. Every day, enough for today. But the thing that Satan wants is your faith. He wants to get you to a place where you say, stuff it. Not for me anymore. This God, we start to speak, this God. Or put it a different way, sir, the God that I serve will not allow this to happen to his children. How's that for one that hits us hard? No, scripture shows us clearly that there's a process. And that process is trials, tribulation, suffering, for you to receive the crown of glory if you persevere, if you overcome, if you continue in that road and don't give up. But, hallelujah for the but, it's not dependent on you alone. Jesus intercedes for you and for me so that our faith may not fail. When your faith is there and Satan says, listen, I want your faith, I want to steal it from you. You can just imagine your head, Jesus standing next to him and saying, no, Father, I ask that you help Duval, that his faith may not fail. We see other scriptures like that even while Jesus was alive. Jesus would say, oh, faithless generation, how long will I be with you and your unbelief? And then we get a wonderful person that says, he knows his weakness, his frailty. He says, God, I know. And then he says, but help me in my unbelief. He actually says, God, I believe. And then he says, but help me in my unbelief. Because the two go together. You know you have to have faith. You know you have to lift up your head. You know this because you're Christian. And we think we need to be perfect. No. We serve a perfect God that did everything for us. But there's a place where you and I need to turn our hearts into that space of that disciple that said, Lord, I know. I believe. But help in my unbelief. And this morning, when you are here, hearing what I'm saying this morning, and you think about your circumstances and it feels to you like you want to give up, then this morning, the word that I brought all the way from Stellenbosch to you is to say, Jesus prayed for you that you will not give up, because your faith is what he values. And he prayed for our faith to stand in the face of adversity, not because he's aloof, but he's with us. He says, lo, in this world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world, and I will be with you always till the end of the age.
Thank you for listening. Find more on Shofar East London's podcast channel. Let's do life together.